This morning's reading is taken from the book of Psalms, and we'll be reading Psalm 32. This may be found on page 462 in the Pew Bibles. Psalm 32, and starting at verse 1. A Maskil of David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through the groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. How wonderful to be with you. My name is Mark Dennison from Christchurch Waterfall, as Dave already mentioned. This church is very dear to me. I was a member here. Lauren was in my very first youth group. I was a staff member. I was saved here. And my current church was planted from this church. And so we have much in debt and much to be grateful to God for Christchurch Pinetown. Well, do keep that passage open. And as usual, we must ask for God's help as we come to his word. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, eternal Lord, may Christ increase, may I decrease as we come to your wonderful word. Speak to us. Will you guide us, correct, train, rebuke us where necessary, and help us to see how this passage points to Christ and is fulfilled in him as well. We pray this in his wonderful name. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you please to keep Psalm 1 open. And in fact, I want to start there. Keep your finger in Psalm 2, a bookmark there. The beginning of the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. And I want you to notice how it starts. And you'll see it is quite familiar from the psalm that Lauren just read to us, Psalm 32. Psalm 1, a very, very famous psalm. It begins, blessed is. Here we see the famous opening psalm. This is the correct path that we must walk on in order to be blessed by God. Everyone in their right mind should want to be blessed by God. Surely we should want the Almighty Creator of the universe to say, I am going to guarantee you a happy future, because that basically is what blessing is. So Psalm 1 clearly introduces us the pathway to blessing from God. Let's look at it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, isn't that what we were taught if we grew up in Christian circles? Isn't it what we teach our children? If you want to be a steadfast Christian, you must fill your mind and your heart with the Word of God. As we were taught in Sunday school, read your Bible and pray every day, and you will Grow, grow, grow. But Psalm 1, in Psalm 1, God warns us that walking in his path is not a walk in the park. Do you see there are many temptations to walk away from God? We are enticed by the counsel of the wicked to stand in the way of sinners and to sit with the scoffers. Now, when we read on, we see in verse 3 that those who stay on track with God are blessed by him, and they grow, grow, grow. They produce fruit like a tree growing strong beside a stream. But in verse 4, we're still in Psalm 1, we are warned that the opposite will happen to the wicked that reject God's word. They are not blessed, rather they will blow, blow, blow. Blow away like paper-thin peanut husks that are destroyed on judgment day because they do not belong in heaven. So then, what hope is there for people who have wandered from God's word? Is there any hope of being blessed by God? If we keep reading through the Psalms from Psalm 1, carrying on for answers, we have to wait until Psalm 32. And it is beautiful. And that is why we are there this morning. If you could please turn back to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is the first psalm since Psalm 1 that starts with the words, "Blessed is." And that is very deliberate. There is hope of the Christian, for the Christian, who has blown it. And we see in the very first verse of Psalm 32, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven." And in case we missed it, the psalmist drums this truth into our heads, reading on, "Whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Forgiveness from God is the only way to blessing if we have wandered from God. We know that this is true for non-Christians because all Christians were once sinners who needed to be forgiven. But this psalm is a psalm written by a believer. Look at verse 6. There we see whom the psalm is primarily aimed at. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found." And look at how the psalm is introduced. Please note that those introductions in the book of Psalm under the headings are part of the original biblical text. And so when it says of David, a maskil, that is equally the inspired word of God. And we are wrong to skip it when we read the Psalms. And we know David. David is a character we are told a lot about in the Bible. He was handpicked by God to be the king of God's people. God gave him his Holy Spirit. David was taught God's word. And although he was God's special king, in regard to faithfulness in his life, he is a model believer. But David, we know, is also famous for blowing it as a believer. He grieved the Holy Spirit that was inside him. He ignored what he knew about God's word. And he abused his privilege as king when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, who was the wife of a soldier in David's army. And when Bathsheba fell pregnant, David tried to desperately to cover up that sin, and eventually he orchestrated her husband's death on the battlefield. With the husband dead, David then married Bathsheba, and he took her and her child to be his own. Now, David thought that he had tied up every loose end. Case closed. But there was one who cannot be fooled. One who could look into the king's bedroom, and he could look into the king's heart. And that is God. And then God sent the prophet Nathan to confront David for his great sin. And in that encounter, King David breaks and he comes clean. So David started as the model believer, faithful, humble, brave. Then he crashes and burns when he walked off God's pathway. But somehow at the end of David's life, God sums up David's life positively. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 3, and many other places, David is described this way: a man who was faithfully devoted to the Lord his God. Every king that followed on from David was compared to David because he was the man after God's own heart. What happened? What happened between David's great, terrible sin with Bathsheba and God's blessing over David at the end of his life? Well, Psalm 32 is an autobiographical summary of what happened in David's heart between God and himself, instructing us on a way back to blessing if we have blown it as a Christian. So our first point is this: unacknowledged sin is married to misery. I get that from verses 3 and 4. Look what it says: for when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. As a believer, David knew the blessings of joy and peace from being in a right relationship with God. David knew from experience how wonderful it was to feel close to God, to go to sleep at night with a clear conscience before his Creator. But now he had sin that he was trying to hide from God. His wicked deeds had ruined the closeness that he had once treasured. He tried to cover up his sin and act normally, but inside, we read that he was tormented. A believer cannot enjoy blessings from God when we try and cover up our sins, because unacknowledged sin and misery go hand in hand. They are married. The Holy Ghost that God had put inside David was now haunting David's conscience, wrestling with him. You know, if God's Holy Spirit was not inside David, well, he wouldn't have been bothered, as we see that he was in Psalm 32. David describes his guilt as if God's hand is constantly pressing down on him, saying something like this: this is not how you should live as my child. You know better than this. And as a result, David's joy was replaced with guilt. Inside him, his unacknowledged sin sapped his vitality, robbed him of peaceful sleep, and festered in his soul like an untreated sore. Now, there is another famous character that has been in this situation before, and that is our very first ancestor, Adam. Adam, too, only began his life knowing the blessing of being in fellowship with God in the Garden of Eden. And then he, too, wandered from God's pathway when he chose to sit in the seat of mockers. He listened to Satan and he ignored God by eating of the fruit that God had forbidden him to eat. And again, what is the first thing that Adam and Eve do after their great sin? Well, they cover up their nakedness. They try and hide from God. They had ruined the blessing of the closeness with God. And their man-made solution, which is almost always the solution, a man-made solution, is to lie and to hide. And what is the first thing God says after they try to hide? Where are you? Had they managed to hide from God? Well, of course not. God is all-knowing, all-seeing. He knew where they were and what they had done. This is God's hand heavy upon Adam and Eve's conscience, urging them to come clean and be honest about their sin. But as we know, Adam foolishly tried to keep hiding from and lying to God. Now, I know we can all think of Christians who are suffering from this kind of guilt, unacknowledged sin. But God wants us to examine our own hearts. Although Psalm 32, I'm pretty sure, is about David's sin of adultery and murder, do you notice that neither of those sins, no particular sin, is mentioned in the psalm? I believe that's because God doesn't want us to think, well, you know what? I haven't committed adultery. I'm not a murderer, so this doesn't apply to me. Any sin that we feel that we need to hide from God or from His church will sit heavily on our consciences and rob us of the joy and the blessing of being in a right relationship with Him. If you are suffering from this guilt, this is God, out of loving concern for you, squeezing the oxygen pipe to your joy, reminding you from how far you have fallen and calling you back to the abundance of His blessing. Well, that takes me to our second point. Therefore, run to the God you cannot run away from. Look at verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. David's man-made plan was to take his sin with him silently to the grave. He's king. He can use so much to help him hide his sin for the rest of his life. But God would not let him. God pursued David, and God eventually wore David down to the point where he finally put his hand up and owned up and decided to be honest to God. David let go of his pride, he exposed his hypocrisy, and he threw himself onto the mercy of God. It had been a painful, I'm sure, but necessary experience for him, because that is what it took for David to finally realize that he had tried to run away from the God you cannot run away from. And eventually, he stopped trying to run away. He turned around and ran to God by confessing his sin. And that was a sins that God already knew about. And then, what sweet relief. God forgave David's sin. Blessed is the one in whose transgressions is forgiven. How ironic. David was trying to hide from God all this time. But when he confessed and he realized the opposite is true, look at verse 7. This wonderful realization, you are a hiding place to me. David realized that the safest place to hide was with God, not from God. Now, I'm sure you all know that saying sorry for our sin is very difficult. It can be embarrassing. It can be terrifying, because we imagine a worst case scenario. It's not that we will lose our salvation, But before we repent, we are covering up our sin and we are being dishonest to God. We are robbing ourselves of the joy and the blessing of being at peace with God. And so to finally come clean with God is the most uplifting and enriching experience. Look at verse 3 again. Because with confession, God reverses misery. After confessing, our bones are renewed. There is a song in our heart again. God's arms are around us in a loving embrace, and he showers his blessings on our souls. Yes, there are consequences for our sins, but to be at peace with God again outweighs anything we could lose on earth. Now, it is a huge risk to be completely vulnerable and honest to someone. If you open your heart to them and they reject you, it can be the most awful experience. Think of proposing marriage to your sweetheart and they refuse. So why take this risk of being honest to God about sin? Well, throughout his life, David knew and loved God, and so he knew that he could have confidence in the mercy of God. David knew, for example, that God is slow to anger. He is abounding in love. David knew that God wasn't waiting for him to come back with a fist or a stick or a locked door or an accusing finger, but with loving arms that longed to embrace him with forgiveness. Think of the youngest son in the prodigal son parable. As Christians today, us who are this side of the cross, David was that side, we are this side of the cross, we have an even greater confidence than David had. Listen to these words from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Look at that line again. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What beautiful words. Do you see the great certainty that we have that God will forgive us and welcome us back if we go to him? God doesn't just cover our sin, but he decimated our sin when he let the only person who never needed to be forgiven, Jesus, when he let him die for our sins. On that cross, Jesus was forsaken by God so that we could be forgiven and blessed by him. Hallelujah, what a savior. That is the depth of his love for us. His grace is greater than our darkest sin. Try him on that promise. Our sins, they are many, but his mercy is more. Now, I told you earlier that it is impossible to hide our sin from God because he knows everything. But it is not only impossible, it is also totally unnecessary. God has made a way through Jesus' death to forgive our sin. And we are alive today. We woke up this cold morning. Whether you are a Christian or not, God has chosen to patiently give us one more day to own up to him, to be honest to him, and he will forgive the guilt of our sin. But what if we choose to take our sin with us to the grave? Well, that is where I need to warn you from God's word that this is a deadly serious mistake. This psalm is God saying that while there is amazing forgiveness for even the most despicable sin, Psalm 32 is also God looking us dead in the eye and saying, unless you acknowledge your sin, there is no forgiveness, no blessing, no heaven. Let me summarize. Unacknowledged sin is married to misery. Therefore, run to the God you cannot run away from. And briefly, under our final point, and willingly offer the rest of your life to God. David knew the blessing of an honest and open relationship with God. Then he knew the guilt of unacknowledged sin. And then he knew the blessing of having that sin forgiven. This adulterer and murderer is telling us all these centuries later to imitate his confession, because God does forgive sin. Verse 6 and 7 is praising the strength and the loving forgiveness of God. God's forgiveness leads to blessing, and no power of hell, no scheme of man will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Once you have been forgiven, your slate is wiped clean, and it is now back to walking on God's Psalm 1, verse 1 path. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 32. Compare it to what we saw in Psalm 1. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. This is the summary of that right pathway of Psalm 1. Yes, you blew it, but you have been forgiven. Now get back on track and offer the rest of your life to him in obeying his word. But that's not enough. Do you see that we must do so willingly? Look at verse 9. Do not be like the horse or the mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bits and bridle, or it will not stay near you. God doesn't want to be dragging us after him on a leash. He wants us to choose to stay with him out of love. He is our creator. He is our father who saved us and forgave us. And therefore, we shouldn't need to be forced to follow him. I heard of the little boy sitting. No, he wasn't sitting. He should have been sitting, but he was standing on the back seat of the car. And his mom wanted to drive off, and he refused to sit down. And she said, sit down. And he said, no. He said, sit down or you'll be in trouble. To which the boy sat down, and he folded his arms, and he snapped, fine. But inside, I'm standing up. Now, that's not what God wants from his children. Reluctant, begrudging, sour obedience out of duty and fear of punishment. God knows the attitude of our hearts. And please examine your heart as I must do my own. You will know if you are following him out of loving thankfulness or out of begrudging duty. Well, to conclude, look at verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Covering our sin or acknowledging our sin are choices that God allows us to make. One leads to sorrow and to judgment, and the other to forgiveness and to blessing. God has given us enough evidence through David's example that it is both impossible and totally unnecessary to try and hide our sin from God. Stop running. Stop hiding. Turn to Him. Be honest to God and experience the blessing of His loving forgiveness and acceptance. Well, I've asked if we could pray together as we close. I've there put a prayer on the screen. Go back. Not okay. I'm gonna pray a prayer. And let's will you make this your own? Father, today is a time when You may be found. You know everything that we may be hiding in our hearts. We admit that we cannot cover up anything from You. Thank You for forsaking Your Son on the cross so that we could be forgiven and blessed by You. We ask this for Your glory, for our greatest good, and in Jesus' name, amen.